Amen. Let's just pray before we open the word today. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. We just thank you for your presence among us, Lord, that you touch us. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you speak to us, Lord, on this Mission Sunday. Father, we just pray that you expand our hearts, Lord, that we won't be just looking in our own situation, our own family, Lord, and our own neighborhood, Lord, and our own city, Lord, but Lord, have a heart for the nations, Lord, what is happening around the world, Father. So, Lord, we pray that you speak to us. Open our eyes this day, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Well, we know what our theme this year is called, a wall, and again, called a war. And I want to continue along that, but I really want to talk about things in a world context. Obviously, this being Mission Sunday. And you'd have to be someone who doesn't watch any news at all or doesn't get a newspaper if you didn't know about all the conflicts that are around in the world at the moment. And it's quite sad, actually, when we hear of all the things that are happening. We think of Syria and Iraq, and you see Christians now that are there being killed, or being told to convert or be killed, and or run away, and a lot of them are running away. Areas here, horrible things that are happening in some places in the world. And we find out in Egypt, we're continuing, they're still burning down churches and things there. Even in Sri Lanka, where they're in the southern part of Sri Lanka, there are a lot of churches. I heard recently there's about 20 churches that got burnt to the ground. And all around the world, this conflict, we see what's happening in the Ukraine. We see what's happening there, and what that tragedy that happened with that airline, and how that conflict has even stopped them even trying to do anything there. So a lot of things that are happening, even Sudan, what's happening in there, major conflict happening all around the world. I just want to show you this little picture. We can just put this up, this little map of the world. Just quickly show that. It just shows you where there's conflict happening in the world right now. And all the areas in orange, areas where there's conflict, and they don't classify them as a war because less than 1,000 people are dying per year. The ones that are in the darker colour there, in that reddy colour, that's where 1,000 people or more are dying in wars at the moment. There's wars going on all around the world. In fact, last year, the Heidelberg Institute said there was about 400 conflicts going on in the world last year. 20 of them were wars. And so we see that we live in a world where there is a lot of conflict, a lot of things that are going on. And certainly we need to have a heart that's far beyond where we are, our own backyard. And praise God, if you see in those that look at Australia there, we're nice and peaceful here, aren't we? Well, praise God for that. But there's a world out there that are in chaos, and we really need to expand our heart and be mindful of those that are in other parts of the world. And after a while, we read so many of these news reports, we see so many things, hear so many things, that we can almost become desensitized to it. But to understand that this world, there's people that are suffering in tragic ways all around the world, and we need to have a heart for them. Matthew 24 says this. It says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come." And so there's things coming. People say, "Oh, well, is this the last days?" And certainly we've always got to carry that sense that we are in the end times, that the Lord could come back any time. But we've had this ongoing conflicts that have happened in different seasons. In fact, you'd probably be hard to find a period of history where there wasn't some major conflicts going on. So there is conflict that is happening, and but we don't have to necessarily say, "Oh no, the Lord's going to come back tomorrow." But we need to have that sense of urgency in our heart, because the Lord can come back at any time, and we need to be alert to that. But these conflicts that are happening all around the world, and really I want us to have a heart that is far beyond our own circumstances, our own situations. It's funny when we look at a map and you see the countries there, and you see the borders that are changing. If you have a look at a map, even if you pulled out a map from 10 years ago and you looked at a map now, you would see that the map is totally different. Borders are changing. You find that happening in Africa, you find in Europe, and all of those conflicts they had there, and nations that used to exist that don't exist anymore, or they change names, or they're fragmented. A lot of things that are happening. But we find that God really isn't into the political system of things. There's a scripture I'll just read to you. It won't come up on the screen, but it says in Isaiah 40, 17, it says, "Before him all the nations are as nothing. They regarded him as worthless and less than nothing. So what does that mean if he says that all the nations are nothing? It means that God doesn't care about the political systems of men. He isn't really interested in the politics of those kind of things. But really, the heart of God is, God's heart is for people. And people matter wherever they are in the world. And God wants us to have a heart that's far more beyond our own immediate circle, but to have a heart beyond even to the rest of the world. Acts 17:26, let's just have a look at that. This is why that's coming up. So God really isn't into politics, but he really is into people. And we see his heart in this in Acts 17. It says, from one man he made all nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And they marked out the appointed times and histories and the boundaries of their land. So God actually put men in place. He actually strategically put you where you are right now, not by accident. God's got a plan for your life. God's got a purpose for your life. He doesn't make mistakes. And we've got to always remember that. We need to remind ourselves of that at times, that I'm where God wants me to be. God has placed me. He's positioned me. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this, and this is why. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he was not far from any one of us. And that's God's heart. God's heart has always been that people would reach out to him. And wherever the nations, wherever they are, that God wants us to have, to be reaching out to him. And he's not far from any one of us. Any one of us that are here today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not far. He's not far away from you. He's close by. That's God's heart for us. But God actually ordered the world. He put things in place with one objective, and that objective was that people would come to know him, would come into that close relationship with him. But we see all the world systems, we see a lot of fighting and all these things going wrong, the horror of war and all that is happening. It's because people aren't reaching out to God, and it's really got to be our heart. We want them to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 2:8 says this, and this is really what the Lord, he claims this earth, this is his world. He says this, ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. And so really, when we talk about this war, this call to war, yes, there's conflicts, there's all these things that are going on where there's all these things happening. But ultimately, this is about an inheritance that God has in people, in the nations, and people from whatever people group, from wherever they are in the earth. God has a plan for us, he has a purpose for us. And he wants us to have a heart that is beyond where we are now, beyond our own immediate circumstance. And we hear these tragedies, we hear these things, and go, oh, isn't that terrible, those poor people over there. But sometimes that's as far as we go, that's as far as we care. And we look at it, some people just flick it over, oh, I don't want to see any more of that, it's too distressing to see that. But the heart of God is for people. God cries out for people. He wants them to be in relationship with them, and that people are his inheritance. The nations are his inheritance, and the Lord wants us to have that heart that we want to see the nations coming to him, to surrender to the headship and the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what God wants to stir within our hearts, that people do matter to God, wherever they're from. We know that we're many nations, even in this church, remember, was it last year or whatever, maybe the year before, I can't remember, where we got people from different countries. I think we had 21 different nationalities of people represented within this church alone. And certainly we're in a community where there's over 70 odd different nationalities and people born in different countries right on our doorstep. But there's also is a world out there that needs to be touched and needs people with a heart to touch them. It's a part of the Lord's inheritance. And I pray that God stirs something in our spirit, because we can think of things just so much within our own backyard that we forget what is happening in the wider world. So why do we see all the conflict that we have in the world, and why do we see that? Because the tragedy of war is that people die in war, and people that, you know, and people who don't find Christ who die, we know what happens to them. That's why war in itself is such a wicked thing. The people, their lives are snuffed out, they're cut off. And maybe these people haven't heard Christ. And a lot of the persecution and stuff that we see is religiously motivated. Many of the wars are. Many of the wars do have some political things behind it. A lot of war is political. You know, you have to say that in Ukraine, what's happening there with the pro-Russian rebels and stuff. You'd have to say there's some political motivation happening behind that. But there's also, you'd have to say, ideological motivations that happen as well. And you'll see that most of the conflicts that you'll find that it's Christians are right in the firing line, literally in the firing line. You'll see that happening all around the world, whether it's in Mali, whether it's in different other parts of Africa. You'll find that it's Christians that are particularly being targeted and have certainly become more promoted now, more obvious to us because it's been reported actually in the mainstream media about what's happening to Christians, particularly in areas of Syria and Iraq, and where people have been herded and driven off if they don't convert, different things that are happening. So many, many conflicts. In fact, the majority of conflicts that you'll find in the world will have that there. But what we've got to understand is that it's not just political, it's not just ideologically, because politically, what can I do as a Christian to do something politically? Not a lot. I mean, maybe I can stand, but what influence is that going to have on other nations? And as much as Australia likes to think that we have a big say on the world's platform, really our impact is really not all that profound, even though we'd like to think otherwise. And ideologically, what are we going to do about ones that are hell-bent, literally, on destruction? How do we do that? But we've got to understand that behind all of those things, there's something else that is at play. Certainly there are some things with the wickedness of men. Ecclesiastes 9:18, it says this, "Wisdom is better than the weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good." And so you'll find that the sinful heart of men, that we want more power. We want to extend the borders. We want to be able to take another nation. We want to subjugate a people. We want to have dominion over them. We're not happy with this as the country that we are. And you just even see that in, you know, the former Soviet Union, which was this big thing that fragmented, and all the conflicts that now have happened even as a result of that. There are some things that certainly happen for that reason. Psalm 141:2, it says, "Rescue me, Lord, from evildoers. Protect me from the violent who devise evil plans in their hearts and stir up war every day." And so there is the sinfulness of man, where the greed of man, the lust for power, control or whatever, sees wars and things begin to break out. And we've seen that right across history with the millions, the generations of people that have been wiped out because of conflicts. And Australians have been involved in that as we've fought in different world wars and multitude of conflicts even since then as well. But even beyond that, beyond the sinfulness of men, there's a spiritual thing that is actually at work. And I just want us to be mindful that this battle that we're in is there. It's real. It's an insidious thing that the devil does in his way that he works. And just remember that ultimately, what the devil comes, we're told in the scripture, tells us that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And certainly that happens in war. You'll see that people's property is just taken off them. People lose everything that they ever had. And certainly in Sri Lanka, when I was there during the war times, and, I remember one meeting, you have a grenade that went off. It was only not that too far away, a couple of hundred meters away. Different things, but the stories of what the people are there who had everything that they had lost. Just imagine you losing everything that you own, that you have to flee for your life. You lose your home, your clothes, everything in your house other than the clothes in your back, and run. Well, that happens in war. People have things taken from them, totally things. But there's killing and destruction that happens. And so there is a war going on. And it is manifest in some conflicts that we see, but there's beyond that is a spiritual thing that is happening. And as Christians, that's something that we need to be mindful of, and we certainly need to be mindful of. And this is Mission Sunday, and I'm leading to something, because there are people that are out there right in the front line while we're cozy in our own little world here in Australia, where there isn't the conflicts, but there's missionaries that are actually on the ground right in those places, and right even in the firing line, touching people for Christ. But the thief comes to kill and destroy, and we just see that. And war is an evil thing. The heart of that, behind that very destructive thing, with people being killed and cut off and things taken away from them. It tells us about a spirit that is already at work. 2 Thessalonians 2:7, it says this, "For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. And that was the Apostle Paul talking. There's a spirit of lawlessness that goes around. It's the work of the devil undermining. And as long as people are fighting one another, and as long as there's conflict and those things, then the things of Christ can be pushed aside. And ultimately, as I said, you don't repent when you're dead. It's too late once you're dead. We got this life to find Christ. That's what you have this life for. It's to find Christ. That's what people are living for, that they would come to that place of Christ. And that's why it is urgent when we see about wars and all these things going on. There's all these people that who has actually been sharing the gospel to them, who's actually telling them about the love of Jesus Christ. And it tells us, we know the scripture, we've already talked about it many times in Ephesians 6. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And we've got to realize that behind all of that, behind the politics, behind maybe ideologies, and behind all of that, there is something else. There's other forces that are at work in this world. And we see the destructive power of that. We see the influence of that. We see that. We read it in our papers and the television. As I said, we've seen all of that, those things. But there's something that is going on. And as Christians, we don't want to stand by and watch that. Just read another article in the paper, watch another thing, you know, on the news. And I, for one, we want to be something. Well, what can I do about that? I just don't want to be a consumer of news of destruction and seeing that. Well, what can we do to help? Because there's a spirit that is at work in this world. It's the work of the devil who comes to kill, to steal, kill and destroy. It's that spirit of lawlessness that is at work and pervading. And as Christians, what do we do? Do we attend a peace rally or something like that? Well, that's a political thing. I don't think that necessarily is going to really do a lot. How do we try to combat ideologies by argument? No, there's something better than that, because there's a spiritual thing underpinning. So what do we do if we really want to see a world, one for Jesus Christ, not a world that is torn apart by 400 conflicts last year, 20 wars last year, and there's been more added to that this year. That was last year's figures. More conflicts have broken out in different areas this year, even more than what we had last year. What can we do about it? How can I do that? You know, have you ever seen... you might have even seen that movie, Miss Congeniality, if you saw that. But beauty contests, I've never actually really watched a beauty contest. But the cliche, if you like, is that, you know, when they have them there and they say, oh, you know, what is it that you're dreaming or want to see? You know, what is it, the biggest thing in your heart? What do they all say? World peace. Isn't that, because you know, that's just the wonderful thing to say, isn't it? We'd all want world peace. And I'm sure we do. Maybe it's a cliche and even becomes a bit of a joke the way that it says. How do we as Christians, what do we do about a world that is in conflict, a world that needs to know Jesus Christ? Well, the way that we can even begin to bring peace is, first of all, where does peace come from? Peace comes from Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. And the only way that peace really comes. And people are going to fight one another as long as they're at war with themselves. They will be warring with one another. As long as they're at war with God, they'll be fighting with one another. We want the Prince of Peace to be made manifest in this earth. We want people to know about Jesus Christ. We want him to know about the life of Christ. And so if we really want to see peace in our world, we need to bring Christ to this world. We need to see the things of Jesus Christ spoken and manifest within people's hearts and lives. We need the Prince of Peace to be made manifest. And that's certainly got to be our heart. Lord, I see this in the paper and I watch it on TV, but Lord, I want to see this world changed. And we can, as I said, you can wave your banners and do whatever else you like, but there's something about bringing Christ, something to counter, because this is a spiritual battle that is going on in the world. Yeah, it's manifest physically where people start shooting at each other and those things that are happening, but there's a spiritual battle that we're in. And we know, again, the scripture, we've already read it before this year, 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And so we don't fight as the world. We're not running. You know, you read about Australians that are all signing up and enlisting to run off and fight in armed conflicts. And it's happened. You hear about it now. They're making laws about people coming back. I remember many years ago, about 20 years ago, when I used to do training. I used to train staff of companies, and I used to train them in computers and different things. And I remember one girl that I trained. She was probably about 19 or 20-year-old girl. And she was going off. After this course that she'd finished, done all the training, she was going off to be trained overseas, and she was, this was to do with the Kosovo conflict and all the things that were happening there, former Yugoslavia. And she was going off as this young girl at 20 years old. She was going off there to fight in the war. And whatever she felt was just or unjust or whatever wanted she to do. This young girl, I thought, man, you've got a whole life and you're going off to fight physically in a battle that's got all this stuff going on. Some people do that, but as Christians, we don't fight as the world does. We've got to do something, and we need to do something differently to what the world does. And one of the things is that when I think about what's happening in the world, I really come to missionaries, and I think of those that are actually going out of where they are. You know, we had that wonderful presentation about what Mike and Shirley are doing in Uganda. Going from the comfort zone of where they are, who go to another nation, who go to another place, and they begin to bring the word of God, to begin to present the Prince of Peace to people. Because it's transforming. The love of Christ does transform. We've been just not singing about it. It's true that the love of Christ actually changes. It makes a big difference to bring healing. You know, the scripture talks about healing for the nations. And so missionaries are right in the front line. And missionaries do die. Missionaries are killed. But they're willing to lay down their lives and to get to go there on those places and to be right in the front line, to leave the comfort zone and leave where they are. And there are people all over the world that have gone out as missionaries and who are actually doing something, who are going to a people that need to know the love of Jesus Christ. There's parts in Africa where there's tribes that have been killing each other for generations. And the only way to break a cycle of that is for Christ to come, the love of Christ. Only He will be able to heal those divides. And so we praise God for those who do go to the mission field, those that are right out in the front line, who are in the firing line in many ways, not just even sometimes physically, but certainly spiritually. And they get hit, they'll be hit, and they'll be hit again. And so what do we do? And so I just want to say, well, what can we do? What can we do if we really are concerned about a world that desperately needs the Lord Jesus Christ? Desperately needs the Lord Jesus Christ. They need the Prince of Peace. What can we do? Well, one of the first things we can do is care. We can actually care about a world that doesn't know Jesus. We can care about a world that is dying, that is ripping itself apart, that the people killing one another and an escalation happening. And things can escalate at any stage, at any time. So we need to care about that. We need to be concerned that there are people in other countries who simply have never heard the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, haven't heard what we've heard. They don't know what we know. They don't have the hope that we hope, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. They don't have that. Or they're just is hoping that they're going to live another day, but they don't know about eternity and about eternal life. And so to have a heart that care, and even to care for those who are missionaries, who are right out there in the front line, and to really have a heart for them. That's why, you know, bless someone like Barbara for, you know, just what she does with her cards. She makes cards. Can't necessarily go over there to a place, but she's making cards because she can do that and sells that money, and the money is raised to support missions, many things. And it's a heart of caring. It's something that we can do. And not be just inoculated from the turmoil that we see on the TV or read in the newspaper, but something stirs in our hearts. Something's got to change. This can't keep happening in this way. Lord, your word's got to go forth. It's got to go to the ends of the earth. We don't want a world that's tearing itself apart. So something stirs. And the other thing we can do is really pray. You know, the most powerful weapon that we have is prayer. So powerful. That's the weapon we have, is to pray. And so pray. Get behind. Missionaries are always craving. Please pray for us is the cry of the missionary's heart. They say, pray for us, please, please pray for us. We need your prayers. Never underestimate the importance of praying for other people. Never underestimate that. It's so powerful when you are praying for someone. The forces of the Lord are released as you pray. As you pray, you know, the tide of darkness is pushed back. The light of Jesus Christ shines. And so pray. You know, we've got a couple of missionaries in the church, a missionary couple. Let's pray for them. The areas we're supporting missionaries. We're supporting a missionary in India. Let's pray for Lisa. Let's pray for her. For Julie, who works with Pastor Barry. Let's pray for her. People that are even out in the remote parts of the earth, people like in places of in Sri Lanka, and even though the war has finished, the conflict continues in different ways. There's different things that are going on in our earth, and even in Sudan, you know, people shooting and killing one another. Even now those things are happening. And so begin to pray, but pray for the missionaries, pray for those that are in the front line. Pray for them. You know, our prayers are, you know, Lord, you know, I've got a flat tire, or Lord, give me the car park or whatever. Now, we go through deeper things. We all go through stuff, and I'm not trivializing what we go through, because we go through some stuff that hurts, and we go from stuff, and we have our own struggles, every one of us do. But let's just think a little bit further beyond than our own immediate sphere, our own immediate places, and begin to say, Lord, we're just going to pray for these missionaries. We're going to intercede for them, Lord. They're representing you, Lord. They're right in the front line, and we're going to pray for them, Lord. They're right out there. You know, when there's a war going on, you know, they'll deploy some troops. They put them, the shock troops, right at the very front. And maybe there'll be others that will come and follow. Maybe there's those that are home that are working in the factories, they're producing the stuff and all of the logistical support and whatever. But they're those that are on the front line, and they need our prayers. And I encourage you to be praying. You know, as a family, can't say every day, but most days, nearly every day, we're praying for missionaries. Our heart is for missions. And so pray. Pray for missionaries. They're right on the front line. So we can do that. We can care. But you won't pray if you don't care. So we can care, and then we'll pray. The other things that we can do is we can give. To actually give to people that are on the missions field. There was a missionary, Amy Carmichael, who was a missionary to India. She said this: you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. You can give without loving, just give, but you can't love without giving. And there's something about giving for those that are doing that work. Now, we know we're all called to evangelize. I'm not talking so much about evangelizing. We've got to reach out to our friends. That's an imperative that's on everyone's heart. But that we can actually give for those who are actually right in the front line. You know, you heard the cry even of the heart there on that video that we saw, is that resources, most missionaries are returning because the resources aren't there. But maybe we can give. Maybe we can love and to actually give in that process. Because these ones are right on the front line. Another quote for you from Robert Shannon said this: never pity missionaries, envy them. They are where the real action is, where life and death, sin and grace, heaven and hell converge. Right on the front line is missionaries. And so to give, the other thing we can do is to go. You know, I mean, it's great to have a couple from church that are gone and are on the mission field. Maybe there are others that God's calling to go right out in the front line. Maybe God will stir your heart to go. Maybe you'll go and you'll stay there. Maybe you'll plant a flag and say, well, this is it. This is the stake in the ground. This is the people that I'm going to reach out to. Maybe God calls us to do that. Maybe you go on, a sense of going along and just imparting into a nation. And I praise God for the opportunity to be able to go to Sri Lanka and the Philippines. But I would love some people to go to the Philippines this year. Be wonderful to go. I can't go this year. But we've got a project in Philippines with Tagum, with those children. And it'd be great for someone to go along there. Maybe someone will rise to the call and say, yeah, I will go. You know, the Lord says, who will go? And we say, well, here I am. Send me. Maybe God will stir that in your own heart. Maybe you'll begin to have faith. I'm going to have faith to have the money to actually go on a mission trip. Maybe God will stir that in your heart. We can go. And Matthew 28:19 says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Well, get out of your front door first of all, and yet we can talk to the people around us, but it's not a progression. It's do all of that. Talk to your neighbours. talk to your friends, talk to your workmates, tell them that they need Jesus, and they're crying out for the Prince of Peace in their own heart. But every one of us has to have a heart for the nations, have a world that we're in. We're living in a world, we're not living in a little island here. Well, it is a big island we're on, but God has called us to have a heart for the nations. And so to go, I pray that God's stirring some people today, say, yes, Lord, I want to go there. I want to go. And maybe if you can't go, well, then maybe you can give. Get behind, support a missionary. Support a missionary. Maybe God will put that on your heart. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Maybe God will put that on your heart. I'm actually going to be generous and give to missions because these guys are right on the front line. Maybe God will stir your heart in that area. And ultimately, our heart is that we want to see people come to Christ. The nations are his inheritance. And we have many nations. And there's people here from different nations. And God has sent you here and you've made a new life in this nation. And I praise God for that. And, you know, we've got people, as I said, from all different nationalities that are here. But there's a birth nation, a nation that you were born in. And there needs to be some sort of a cry even for those people there. Some of you got families in other nations. And it's hard when you've got family in a nation when there's conflict going on. I've got some friends, the Coptic priests over in the Egyptian Orthodox Church. And, you know, the turmoil that going on with it, you know, they've got families over there that are getting killed and all different things that are happening in Egypt are very hard for them. And so they're trying to do what can we do to reach back into that nation. And maybe some that are here, God's, you've come here from another nation, but maybe there's something that will stir in your own heart. What can I do to begin to touch that nation that I've come out of? And praise God that you're here. Praise God this is your home. This is where you belong. But maybe God will stir something in your own heart for those nations, because people need to know Jesus Christ. People need to know the Lord. They need him. They desperately need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're not the ones that's going to tell them that, then who is? And if we're not going to get behind those who are out there on the front line, then who will? And so I trust that God stirs something in our hearts today. You know, some of you have had a desire for missions in your heart, and for whatever reason you just keep putting it off. Well, I'm waiting for this to happen, or I'm waiting for these circumstances to change, and then I will do it. Well, maybe it's the time to say, Lord, I'm not going to keep on deferring that. I'm not going to keep on making the excuse why I can't do that. And maybe if God stirred something in your heart, we'll grab a hold of it and say, no, Lord, I'm going to do that. Because this world desperately needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Your family need to know them. They do desperately. Your neighbours, your workmates, your school friends, your colleagues, your university, wherever it is. But people in the world, and God wants us to be globally thinking. He has a heart for nations. There is inheritance. And I trust that God is stirring something in your heart. So let's stand. I want to pray for us this morning. I want to pray that God will stir our hearts in this whole area, that we will not be immune or just shut off when we hear what's happening in this world. Something will stir in our spirit and say, this isn't right. This is not right what is happening. These things that are happening are not right. There's a spirit of lawlessness at work. Satan is having a field day in these areas with conflict between people. But we want the Prince of Peace to be made manifest. So, Father, as we stand before you now, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your people here today. Lord, we're here because we love you. Lord, we're because of Jesus. We're because you're in our lives. Because you've saved us, because you've set us free from the law of sin and death. Lord, because we have the promise of eternal life, because your blood of the cross washed us clean. Lord, we thank you, Lord, we've got it. We have it, Lord. We have it. We have Jesus Christ. And Father, we are so grateful for the gift of Jesus Christ that we've received, Lord, and that you're in our hearts. But Father, we know there is a world out there, Lord, that's suffering and lost people, Father, Lord, and Lord, even destruction that's happening. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll stir our hearts, Lord, that we'd not be apathetic towards what happens in our world. Father, that we will care. Lord, we'll be a people that really do care. Lord, and that we'll back that up with prayer. Lord, that we'll pray for those, Lord, that are on the front line, Lord, for missionaries. Lord, we'll pray for those that are persecuted for their faith, Lord, even those that are fleeing for their lives, Father. Lord, we just pray, Lord, for them, that we'll pray for those, Lord, for those who do not know you. Lord, who desperately need to know you, Father. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'll stir our heart to pray for them. Lord, that we'll pray for those nations, Lord, that we'll have a heart for that, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that we will be a giving people. And Lord, that we will give. Lord, we won't say that we care and we won't say that we love if we're not prepared to give, Lord, but we will give. Lord, because, Lord, your word needs to go forth to the end of the earth, Father. Lord, stir that. Lord, that we show that we love by our giving, Father. Lord, I pray that you stir our heart for missions, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of the coins for missions. But Lord, we can do so much more than that, so much more than a few coins. Father, we want to give more to missions, Father. Lord, we want to touch the nations, Father. And Lord, I pray for those, Lord, that something's stirring in their heart to go. They're saying, yes, oh, I've made excuses. I've had other priorities and I know, Lord, you want me to do it. Maybe not permanently there, but maybe God's stirring it. Yeah, I've got to go on a trip and I've put it off and Lord, I'm not going to make an excuse now. I'm going to say, look, here I am. Send me. Father, I pray, Lord, there'll be people in this church that you're stirring and they will come and say, here I am. Send me. Lord, I pray that you'll stir that, Lord, that we'll have others, Lord, that are going, Lord, and touching, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the teams that have gone out from this church that have touched the nations, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for those that have a heart to do that. But, Lord, I pray that you continue to stir that. And, Lord, maybe where that's been just allowed to fall aside or even forgotten, Lord, that you'll stir that. Fan that in a flame today, Lord, because you care about people, Lord. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that your word says that every tribe, every tongue, every nation, Lord, all those people that will stand before you, Lord, and it's our heart. So, Lord, stir that heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. And, Father, I pray, if there's anyone among us today, Lord, that doesn't know you, Lord, that they will come, Lord, and they'll come and say, come and speak to us and say, I need Jesus in my life. I live a life, but I need the reason of my life, I need Jesus. I need Jesus in my life. Father, I pray if there's anyone like that today, Lord, they will come, Lord, and they'll ask you into their life. Father, I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to just be seated for a moment. We're going to take...